Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I'm your host, Ben Heckendorn.
And I'm Jason Jones.
Jones, you're still here.
Wanna bet?
I'm still here. Your favorite Joaquin Phoenix movie.
No, that's Quills.
He was in Quills?
Hell yeah. Have you even seen Quills?
No.
I can't believe it. I bet you know when it came out, though.
You know, I don't actually know when it came out. Well,
wow, I've stumped Ben.
Actually, I'm going to guess 2002.
False.
Oh, what was it?
2000.
Damn, I knew it would have been before Pirates of the Caribbean.
Because it was the same time that, like, Crouching Tiger and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou and all those came out. Or actually, that was 99, wasn't it?
I thought Oh Brother, Where Art Thou was older than that.
Pretty sure it was 2000.
That was the first movie to have digital color correction.
Wow.
Yeah. I bet you really didn't think you'd learn that when you woke up this morning.
I did not. It's about a movie that I really don't care about anyway, so I don't understand the allure of it, but whatever.
I have never seen it.
Well, you should watch Quills long before you watch that, so.
Isn't that where he writes seductive books and then the woman from Titanic falls in love with him or something?
Well, yeah, Quills, it's like about the Marquis de Sade, so oh. It's like Jeffrey Rush is in it, and he's like in this asylum type place or whatever, then Joaquin Phoenix is, God, is he like kind of a pastor there or something like that, I think, but then he becomes like infatuated with Kate Winslet. And
wait, this sounds like the plot to Amadeus.
All sorts of shit. It has kind of an Amadeus vibe to it a little bit.
Mediocrities, I am your patron saint. So I should see the movie Quills.
Yeah, it's a hell of a film, so.
Is it better than Pacific Rim?
You don't even need to ask that question. Infinitely better.
So, we're thinking we're going to... Our topics today, one of them involves movies, so this hasn't been completely off subject. Although, I was looking at IMDb, and they had the movie Her, and that's the one where Joaquin Phoenix falls in love with an operating system's voice.
Isn't the voice like Scarlett Johansson?
Right. But then, like... Who else is in that movie? Like, Olivia Wilde is some other person in it, and it's like, geez, I mean, you've got, you know, you don't have to fall for, I mean, Scarlett Johansson is pretty hot, but...
But it's just her voice.
Yeah, well, yeah. Her voice, she's got a sexy voice, too, but it's just an operating system. You've got Olivia Wilde running around. Oh, that reminds me, I saw Cowboys and Aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of a fun movie.
Yeah, I liked Harrison Ford in it. He actually sort of tried a little.
Yeah, he actually seemed like he was having fun in a movie for once. In, like, the last 15 years.
He's like, I'm gonna kill these things.
That was how I felt about Lone Ranger, too. Like, I don't get why that movie got shat upon so much. I thought it was just a lot of fun.
It was too long.
But, yeah, yeah.
But, I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, it was a good time. It reminded me of kind of the fun of the first Pirates movie, which also was too long. But, you know, it kind of had that carefree vibe to it, and...
I think what I appreciated about that movie and Aliens versus Cowboys, well, first of all, they were westerns.
Yes.
Well, they were movies that took place in the West. They weren't technically westerns. Although, no, Cowboys versus Aliens was. Anyway, but they had they had violence in them.
Yeah.
And mostly that.
Well, yeah.
People said that, you know, I was thinking that while watching Lone Ranger. Is like people who think that Star Wars Episode 7 won't be violent because it's made by Disney. Like, just watch Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
Which actually takes us into our topic, but which is going to be... We're going to talk about Star Wars Episode 7, but we can continue talking about Lone Ranger.
Yeah. Well, yeah, shit, you've got there. The, you know, bad guy that, like, eats that dude's heart.
Off camera, but yes.
Yeah, but it was just like...
eat his heart.
I was like, what the hell? When that happened, it was just really... bizarre, but it was like, okay, well, this is what's happening now. So
you just
and lots of people get killed in it and
yeah,
stuff.
You never see people fighting people. It's always people fighting aliens or people fighting aliens or people fighting aliens or cowboys in every movie nowadays. And it's just refreshing and like a throwback to see like some good old fashioned human on human violence.
Yes. The world needs more of that in its film.
Yes. Not in its reality.
Not in reality, yeah.
But, you know, if terrorists ever take over, you know, the Nagasaki Plaza or whatever that was called.
Nakatomi.
Nagasaki.
Nagasaki.
Oh, no, too soon?
Wow.
Speaking of Japan, we're also going to talk a little bit more about the Wii U and what we as target demographic gamers, what would make us buy it?
Are we the target demographic for the Wii U?
Like, it's like 37-year-olds.
Really?
37-year-olds are like the... Yeah, so the older we get, we are like the target demographic. High school girls. I keep getting older.
They just stay the same age.
Yeah, you know, I think it's because... Here's my theory. It's like, we missed the first console, the gaming crash of 84.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't... Well, we remember we gamed before it, but we weren't buying games.
Yeah.
So then first big system was Nintendo, and then we just kept buying games. We never stopped.
You know, like it just became part of our habits or whatever to play games. So.
People in their 40s, I would guess, game a lot less than people our age. And I think that's part of it. And I think that's also part of Nintendo's problem is, you know, the market keeps getting older and they keep going younger.
Yeah.
And I guess we can circle back around to that.
Yes.
Circle our wagons back around to that.
Lone Ranger style.
Yeah. So Daniel Craig loses his memory after an alien tries to cut his guts out or something. And
there's that cool scene by that fire with Olivia Wilde. That was nice.
Yeah, actually, when the movie was starting up, it's like rated PG-13 for blah, 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 brief nudity. And I'm like, please be Olivia Wilde.
Yeah, it's like, please don't be Daniel Craig's ass.
I mean, Daniel Craig is, and he's a pretty, well, you know, he's a pretty muscular guy, but I don't really need to see that. Unless it's a Will Ferrell movie, then you are pretty much guaranteed whose ass you're going to see.
Yeah, and it's not the one you want to see, so.
Was Amy Adams in Talladega Nights? Was that her?
Apparently she was, because I was looking. The redhead? I saw that movie once, like, so long ago and thought it sucked, so
yeah,
I've pretty much blocked it out of my memory. But I was looking at her filmography the other day, and it said she was in it, so.
Yeah, because I think she's the typical, like, smart, cool girl who contrasts the character's bitchy original girlfriend character.
Ah, yes.
You know? Or, like, the girl who inexplicitly falls for this idiot person, like, in every Adam Sandler movie.
Yes.
Can you imagine if we went back in time 20 years, or 19 years, and said, Adam Sandler's career will last much longer than Jim Carrey's, who would have believed it?
Yeah, that's true.
It was 20 years ago, in a few months, that Jim Carrey talked out of his ass and changed a generation. But he just didn't. He tried to turn into a real actor, and Adam Sandler didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
And Adam Sandler was rewarded for it.
Yeah, Carrey basically tried to pull a Tom Hanks and couldn't quite pull it off. Because Hanks, you know, pretty much just did comedies back in the 80s, and then he went serious and never really looked back. And,
yeah, but not to deliberately offend Jim Carrey fans, Tom Hanks' comedies were intelligent.
Yes,
funny.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the jokes in the early Jim Carrey movies were basically, the whole premise was how stupid he could make himself look.
Yeah, it was basically a big fart joke. So, where Hanks was in stuff like The Burbs, which is just gold. So
Joe versus the Volcano,
yeah.
Dragnet.
Money Pit, all sorts of guess, a bachelor party.
Yeah,
Hookers on the left, drugs on the right.
Oh, I tried to chip you up.
Yeah, I heard you.
Darn it, I didn't fool you.
That was Tom Mission, and it's not a very good movie. But it does have Elizabeth Shue in it and the height of her hotness.
How does it compare to Legend?
Sadly, it is better. I would gladly watch Cocktail again before Legend. That movie's a god-awful atrocity. It's got that jive-talking goblin in it. It's just horrible.
Trademark Ridley Scott shit flying through the frame everywhere.
And Tom just looks like he's lost on his way to the set of Top Gun.
Okay, so the first two topics is Star Wars Episode 7, then Nintendo and the Wii U, and the third topic is Jones is going to give us his controversial PlayStation 3 reviews.
Ooh! Ooh, that's true. Yeah, they are PlayStation 3s.
So. And they're controversial.
Ooh, and I did buy a PlayStation 4. That's news since the last episode.
So. I guess I've got one sitting here as well.
Yes.
I don't care. All I care about is Fallout 4, and Elder Scrolls Online better not delay it, damn it.
Tell us how you really feel.
Hey, we're Bethesda. We've got too much money. Let's develop an MMO that doesn't have the word craft in the title. That'll be a good write-off. Okay, so let's start with Star Wars Episode 7. So they're making another Star Wars movie.
They are?
Yeah, didn't you hear about this?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah, it's being directed by Brett Ratner.
Sweet!
You know, Brett Ratner isn't that bad.
So it'll be like X-Men? I'd be happy if the new Star Wars was of the quality of X-Men The Last Stand. There's a controversial statement, I'm sure.
You know, it's not like I bought it on Blu-ray or anything, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was perfectly fine. It fit in with the first two. I don't know. I didn't have a big problem with it, so.
Yeah, I'll go see X-Men Days of Future Past, but I don't know. I've got a very bad feeling about this.
Yeah, I saw the trailer that came out a month or two that was, apparently people were just like coming in their pants over or something. And
there's just a bunch of shots of bullshit, didn't tell you.
Yeah, I did not see anything in it that, you know, that I felt like I should get excited about.
My concern is it's basically the same situation Peter Jackson was in. It was a successful director, makes a bunch of stuff nobody goes to, and then crawls back to franchise that made him famous.
Yeah, and doesn't have to prove himself.
Yeah, so I'm a little concerned about. Well, I liked Valkyrie.
Yeah.
I didn't see Jack and the Beanstalk, and nobody did.
Yeah, I didn't either. So.
I mean, why would anyone care about that premise? Although I did watch Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, or whatever it's called, off Netflix. It was good, trashy fun. Basically, Someone was like, hey, you know that part in Army of Darkness where Bruce Campbell fights the witch? Yeah. What if we made a whole movie like that? And, yeah. You know.
Doesn't it have that Gemma Arterton trick in it from Archer. Quantum of Solace?
And no. She wasn't in... Oh, yeah, she was in Quantum of Solace, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's the oil woman.
Yeah, and then the other one was Ugla Kurkukujugov.
Yeah, she's the one that lived. Spoiler warning.
Right. I still need to see Oblivion, which I know she's also in.
It's a hell of a film.
Yeah.
I really liked it, so...
Anyway, Star Wars Episode 7.
Oh, yeah, we're trying to talk about this thing.
So, what was the rumor that... Who was the guy? Bill Arndt, the guy.
Whatever, Michael Arndt.
Michael Arndt, who wrote Toy Story 3
and Little Miss Sunshine.
Toy Story 3 was an overrated movie. There, another controversial opinion.
Yes,
it was.
Yeah, yeah.
It should have ended in the dump. Spoiler warning: those toys should have been destroyed.
Yeah, when they were going in the incinerator.
End. That should have been the end of the movie.
Because I was watching that movie and I'm like, holy shit, this is awesome.
This is exactly how it should end.
And then they get saved, and then they go to this other kid, and I'm like, this is bullshit.
You realize that Frozen has completely blown away Monsters University for box office?
Yeah, that thing's, like, huge. It's like printing money.
Disney has, like, swung back around, and Pixar is starting to turn out repetitive stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Toy Story 3. The thing is, you know, if it would have ended like that, all the kids would have been crying.
Yes.
What happened about movies, like, when we were kids, like Watership Down, that were just dark as hell, and they scar you for life?
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Well, I still remember Dale always telling me about his experience seeing Finding Nemo in the theater and how he loved it because, like, at the beginning, there's, like, I can't remember how it begins, but it's basically there's, like,
a
big
really
fish,
dark.
And then, like, there's a bunch of fish that get eaten or something like that.
Yeah, he eats all their babies, like, in the first few minutes.
Yeah, and I know Dale told me, like, there was this little kid with his mom kind of near him, and the kid was like, Mommy, where did all the little fishies go? And Dale said he was just kind of sitting there, like, internally laughing maniacally, you know, because it was just like, hey.
But that's awesome!
Yeah, and it's great, you know? It's like...
I mean, if you look at, like, classic literature and fairy tales, it was very dark.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even when it's translated for the screen, it's usually, you know, toned down quite a bit.
Yes.
So...
But, yeah, so this guy was brought in... He was supposedly working on the screenplay and the story and stuff for Episode 7 before Lucas even did the sale to Disney. Like, he was already kind of on board working on something with Lucas.
Yeah.
And then now, like, the thing I read, which I think is what you're probably getting at, is that the reason that guy's kind of off the project now is because he was wanting to focus the story on, like, Han and Leia and, like, Luke's kids or something like that.
Yeah,
and have them be smaller roles, and Abrams wanted... the original cast people to be, like, the primary characters in the movie and have the focus on them, which, you know, that's been my fear the whole time, like, whether it was Abrams or whoever making the movie, is that they would play it so stupidly safe and that they would go and make these people that are, like, now in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, like, the core of the movie. It's, like, it's stupid. Like, when they announced it was going to be Episode 7... this is what my fear would be, instead of just making a new Star Wars movie.
Yeah, you've got 71, 62, and 57.
Yeah.
And you know, two of them haven't aged well at all.
Yes.
Between drugs and car accidents. I think it's Mark Hamill, but, you know, it did affect him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Harrison Ford is ancient, and he doesn't care. Any movie you see, he just doesn't give a shit. Yeah, I would almost... the prequels... say what you will about them, but they did different things. Mm-hmm. They told different stories. They had new characters. They only had like a couple of the original characters really in it, like C-3PO, Yoda,
Obi-Wan,
R2
was there. I mean, they were in there, but they were kind of, you know, for the most part, they were supporting characters, though. They weren't, like, the focus of the story, you know. Now, like, they're basically saying, like, oh, yeah, Luke, Han, and Leia, they're still going to be, like, the focus of the story, at least in Episode 7, and then it sounds like, you know, they'll kind of give way.
Yeah.
But it's like, fuck that, I don't want to see them now. Like, I was fine with them popping in and being, like, a little cameo appearance and then going on their way, you know, but...
Well, the other issue with that is it necessitates that the story must immediately jump 30 years into the future from after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, so you miss out on all the aftermath of what happened, because it's like when they blew up the second Death Star, it's not like the Empire just disappeared.
Right.
You know, there was... It was like they blew up one...
Remember when they shot Abraham Lincoln and the Union just crumbled
back in the 1860s? Wow, you compared Abraham Lincoln to the Emperor. Not really, but kind of. It was funny. But
4 score and 7 years ago, we brought forth unto this nation. I can't remember
the whole thing, but yeah, I mean that. I mean, I'll obviously go and see this. But
do you think they had teleprompters back in the 1860s, like some guy holding up paper for Abraham Lincoln?
It could have been like the piano thing where it's got the scrolling papers.
Thomas Edison probably built it.
Yeah,
he's like, here you go, Taft. Here's some food.
It wasn't a What was that, a calliope? Was that what those things were called? Or what was that, where it had the paper with all the notches in it?
You mean like to run a paper piano or a playing piano?
Was that what that was? It was a piano.
You're thinking about a player piano.
Yeah, yes. There we go. Okay. So, but yeah, I mean, this was my fear the whole time when I, you know, at first it was like Disney buys Lucasfilm, you know, and blah, 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 and they're going to make a new trilogy. And then very quickly it became, oh, they're going to make episode 7.
Hey, there were separatists during the Civil War, just like in Star Wars.
That's true.
Go to the Virginia system. My apprentice will take care of you. What is your bidding, my... So Abraham Lincoln dressed up with, like, a robe.
Yes,
and he gave false information to General Lee and, you know, the Confederate...
Oh, yeah.
President, I can't remember his name because I wasn't there.
Jefferson Davis.
There you go. And he fed them false information. He was like, want Gettysburg? Why do we want to invade Gettysburg? Do it.
So who would have been the Jar Jar Binks in this scenario?
I don't know. I can't think of anyone else from the Civil War.
Well, it was definitely somebody. Ulysses Grant. That's who it would have been. But I don't know. This whole thing, it's like, I think... I might have said it when we did the last episode, I don't know, but it's like my big wish that they would have done with this is they would have just said, you know what, the first 6 movies, they happened, they were about the Skywalkers, it was the story of Anakin Skywalker primarily, it's done, you know, go back, there's all this expanded universe stuff now, there's like all the Old Republic stuff, you know, it's like all kinds
go
of great characters, just go there, just sever ties with all this Skywalker shit.
But that's
completely.
Not a safe bet.
I know. The thing is, it's like, you put fucking Star Wars on it, print money.
Yeah, I mean, you could make The Phantom Menace, for instance, and people would still go see it.
Yeah. Which I like Phantom Menace, but still. But it's like...
Yeah, it has some redeeming qualities.
But I mean, it's like a lot of people hated Phantom Menace, but
they
guess
still
what?
Went to Attack from the Clones.
And Attack of the Clones came out. People still went to that. People still went to Revenge of the Sith. You know, it's like... I don't know. It just seems
it's
dumb.
Way too safe.
Yeah, it's too safe. It's just, you know, it's like you can just basically see where it's going already.
See, Star Wars is really about, it's not necessarily about the characters. Like, making a Star Wars movie, and this is something that the prequels didn't do, it's about having, like, a sense of adventure and fun and overwhelming odds and dashing rogues, you know, which they didn't have in the prequels,
and
which is a big problem with it.
Princesses and...
Yeah, and now you're going to have, like, some 71-year-old guy with a walker, like... like Josh Holloway as like a Han Solo like character in Star Wars would be awesome. You know,
oh yeah,
like,
it'd be great.
Yeah, or Jennifer Lawrence as like a young Jedi kid would be awesome. But I don't want to see Harrison Ford in his beater Millennium Falcon, you know, flying around, and maybe they'll try to bring back Boba Fett because he's popular.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
keep hearing.
How did he die? He fell in that pit? Lame.
Yeah, well, I mean, I keep...
No body, no death, J.J. Abrams.
Yeah. Yeah, because I keep hearing the rumors about Boba Fett and stuff, and I'm like, he's in the fucking Sarlacc pit. It's like, you know, people will be like, oh, he used his jetpack and got out or some bullshit, but it's like, just let him be dead.
Okay, you're a big Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
Do you think Boba Fett's like the best thing ever? How do you feel about
him? No. I mean, you know, growing up and, you know, before they did the prequels and stuff, it's like, oh, you know, maybe I'd like to learn a bit, little bit more about that guy, you know, but he was just, he's a very small character. I mean, the only time he really makes any sort of appearance is at the end of Empire Strikes Back when he just takes Han Solo away. It's not like he
shoots a few missiles and
does much of anything, you know.
And you could see even in Attack from the Clones where, like, what the fans liked dictated the plot.
Yes.
Like, why the hell was every Stormtrooper based off a clone of Boba Fett?
Yes.
Or his dad? I'm like, why?
Yeah.
It's just because it's fan service. Just like on pin side. Like, if you let people design a pinball machine, you'd have, like, this turd fest.
Yeah.
Well, you'd have Walking Dead is what you'd have.
Well, you'll have a camel is what you'll have in the end.
It's like it's a horse, like a horse
designed by a committee, you know. So,
right.
But yeah, it's like, and the thing is, it's like what it sounds like we're gonna get. I guess it's not that much worse than what Arndt wanted to do, because like the whole thing with like, oh, we're gonna focus
they came
it
up
on
and like you aren't writing the script anymore.
Yeah,
that's how they fired him.
That's right, and he's like, okay, give me my money. But it, you know, like what he was going to do was what I always assumed was going to happen if they made an episode 7 anyway. It was going to focus on the children, which I don't really give a fuck about their kids either. It's like, I want to see new characters, you know, tell me new stories. It's like this huge universe. There's like more to it than just the Skywalkers, you know, delve into that stuff. I so wish that instead of making the prequels, I mean, I'm a prequel apologist. It's well documented, but instead of making the prequels, I wish Lucas would have just made the Thrawn trilogy.
And the characters would have been a lot younger.
They would have been close enough in age, they could have pulled it off, because those stories are so goddamn awesome. And it ties into the stuff that happens after Jedi and all of the kind of
fractures. But if they have to jump 30 years, they can't tell that story.
Yeah, there's no way they can.
So what the hell's going to happen?
I don't know.
And when they announce, like, we are now going to align all Star Wars canon to blah, blah, blah. You know all that means is they're going to see what J.J. Abrams and what's-his-face write. And then if the post-Jedi canon doesn't fit with that, it's gone. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. Because it's, I mean, I suppose they could kind of do the Thrawn story, but it would be tough. I mean, they would just basically have to do it with all these older characters.
Maybe they're going to push it back, and that's why they're talking about, you know, changing the timeline or the canon.
Yeah, because to me, I was like, when I heard they were making new Star Wars, I was just like, oh my God, my dream would be if they'd make the Thrawn trilogy, cast Jon Hamm as Admiral Thrawn, it'd be so goddamn cool. Because he basically is, like, if you painted him blue and gave him red eyes, he is Admiral Thrawn, as I always, like, pictured him to be.
Well, I don't know anything about the Thrawn trilogy, but I guess I could say this, as far as going to different time, like, Star Wars needs, like, a reboot.
Yeah.
It's far worse than Star Trek ever was. It's, like, collapsing under its own weight. And by reboot, just, like, yeah, go 1,000 years in the past, or, you know, like, just go so far away that it's, like, completely different.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you don't have to go and, like, remake the original three movies. It's like, yeah, just, like, go do the Old Republic stuff. There's all sorts of stuff with Sith and Jedi battling each other. You've got all that conflict. There's all kinds of great, you know, old Sith Lord characters, and there's tons of stuff that they could do.
I mean, you could see it even in Return of the Jedi. Because, okay, controversial opinion, when Empire came out, it was not considered the best, and because it was different. And so
and dark and everything,
just like Temple of Doom. So it's like, let's bring back the Death Star. You know, they tried all these old elements. It's like they built another Death Star. It's like, with an even wider port.
Yeah, they didn't learn.
Well, you can see that with Indiana Jones. You know, a lot of people didn't like Temple of Doom.
Yeah, and Last Crusade's just a remake of Raiders the first of the Lost Ark. So
I like it more than I used to, the third one, but it's still just a remake.
Yeah.
I wrote it in my diary, so I didn't have to remember.
So we'll see what happens, but I mean, they're going to end up diluting the whole thing because they kind of want to do with it what they've done with Marvel. You know, there's like all this talk that they're going to make these other kind of side movies, like maybe they'll do a Boba Fett movie.
They got to get their $4 billion worth.
Yeah,
but so Marvel lends itself to that. So, I mean, does Disney want to make 50 movies a year?
Well, the thing is, I mean, you look at Disney, it's like, with all the shit they own now, they could just make, like, Star Wars, comic book, and a couple of animated movies every year and just, you know, and throw Johnny Depp into something every now and then. And
Who married Amber Heard?
They got married?
Yeah.
Really?
Man, isn't he a little old? Wow. I mean, he's Johnny Depp.
Because he just got... I don't even know if they were married, him and that Vanessa parody, but they broke up.
Yeah, I saw it on IMDb. I think he did kind of... It was like a Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston kind of thing. Oh. Where he's like, see ya.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
But, I guess way to go, Johnny. Well, like, yeah. Well, something. Yeah, 5 years, he'll have half his money. So yeah, it'll
be
matter.
It'll be done.
Yeah. Seriously, like if you were like Paul McCartney, I wouldn't get married to anyone.
Yeah, what's the point?
Yeah, who cares? Like,
just bang whoever you want and...
Also, what's his face? Tiger Woods.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just stay single. Bang whoever you want and keep your money.
Well, especially him, since he was like Mr. Sex Fiend or whatever the hell it turned out to be. It's like, yeah, why would you even bother getting married?
Did he have a sex addiction?
I guess.
Didn't David maybe he had a risk a sex addiction? I'm so glad we never watched that damn thing. Oh, God. For shitty movie night.
Yep.
Oh, I was watching part of my Dungeons & Dragons Blu-ray. I bought it on Blu-ray.
Nice.
Yeah. I am Profion. Let their blood rain from the sky.
The people are free. Oh, remember, yeah, those stupid close-ups of Thora Birch when she's, like, riding around to that dragon. Oh,
it's such a great bad movie.
It's, like, in so tight on her, you know.
I'd have to put a spell of stupidity on myself to fall for someone like you. If you haven't seen 2000's Dungeons & Dragons with Jeremy Irons and Thora Birch, you haven't lived. It is probably the best bad movie ever made.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a spectacle that you have to see to believe.
It is not The Room, it is Dungeons & Dragons. Because Dungeons & Dragons, you do not have to watch five Tommy Wiseau sex scenes.
And it has blue lips in it. Yes. Look at me.
You must be joking.
And snails.
Blue lips move so slowly, the only character he manages to kill is snails. Now, wasn't Snails the same Wayans brother from Requiem for a Dream?
Yes, so in the same year, he somehow found his way into a critically adored film and then a critically lambasted
just
one.
Just like Thor Birch.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Wow.
Well, so, American Beauty was the year before, though.
That's true. So
close enough, though.
Obviously, I'm sure we'll both go see Star Wars, but I'm worried it's going to be way too safe.
Yeah.
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 Also, I did not like Star Trek Into Darkness at all.
That movie rocks. Cumberbatch for the win.
Cumberbatch is like this pasty white British guy,
and he's awesome at it.
I prefer my cons as Hispanics playing Indians. Thank you very much.
See, Cumberbatch just owns every scene he's in. He's so awesome. Like, without him, that movie would just be eh. But he's just so awesome.
I don't like him. He's just like, really? I'm an evil British person.
I don't know. I thought he conveyed, like, I don't know. He made me, like, empathize with him, which I found interesting.
You know what would have given me empathy for him is if we would have seen his people or seen why he was betrayed by Admiral RoboCop? No, we're only told.
That's all right.
J.J. Abrams, king of the flashback, can't show us the Botany Bay being discovered.
That's because you already saw it in another movie.
But that shouldn't matter. I remember it's for a new generation.
That's true.
Although I would really like a Star Trek pinball machine. It's a lot of fun.
And I want Cumberbatch to be in Star Wars. So put him in there, Abrams.
Well, he'll probably be Thrawn or Thrawn.
See, that would work. That if they're not going to get John Hamm, then they should get Cumberbatch. But I think Cumberbatch, he could work as either a hero or a villain in it. So,
well, one thing good about J.J. Abrams, he's definitely an actor's director, which George Lucas never was.
Yeah, yeah.
So whomever he casts, I'm sure it will be well done. I mean, look at like Phantom Menace. George Lucas filled it with great actors who all sucked in it.
Yeah. Yeah, like really, Ewan McGregor was the only one that kind of pulled through. It was like he got it or something.
Yeah, he understood. I mean, ultimately, Star Wars is a B movie, just like Indiana Jones was. And Ewan McGregor, yeah, he understood that, whereas everyone else was trying too hard.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, like, it's like, Natalie Portman, we need you to talk like you just came back from the dentist. Why? Just because. That's why she got mad and did that rap.
Got that rap, that's right. Yeah, McGregor, yeah, he kind of did everything in those movies with a bit of a wink. And that's why
the second and third movie, he didn't really have anything to do in the first one.
True. He's
intergalactic space secretary.
Yeah.
Here's your midichlorian count, master.
But he did have that good line, like, really early on when they're, you know, like, right at the beginning of the movie when he's like, well, you were right about one thing, Master. The negotiations were short.
Oh, I mean that scene where they clearly forgot to film them saying what they were going to do?
Yes.
He's like, let's stow aboard two different separate ships and go down to the surface. And they cut away from Qui-Gon when he says that. So clearly they made the movie and the test audiences know what, well, they didn't have test audiences in that movie, which is another problem. It's so secretive.
Yeah, yeah.
So whenever you see a movie and critical dialogue is said off screen, that means they forgot to film it. The test audiences didn't know what was going on, and they had to loop the dialogue in to make it make more sense.
Yep.
Okay, so yeah, obviously we're both hopeful for Star Wars, but we have some trepidation.
Yes.
Because you fool me once, shame on me. Fool me again, shame.
And when is it supposed to, you know, when are they claiming it's going to come out? Is it December 2015?
It won't make which it. It'll get pushed back.
It's got to be a summer 2016.
They're still writing it? That's a special effects heavy movie. They need to be filming that movie like next month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll get pushed back to 2016, definitely.
Yeah, they haven't even like fully cast it yet or anything. So it's
Well, just like that 47 Ronin movie, I think they kept pushing that back. So they pushed it into a financially successful year, so they could write it off against Fast and the Furious 10 or whatever movie came out. Which one?
Yeah, didn't they say they were going to take a write-down of like a couple hundred million on that movie? Or?
I got to think that's going to be like the biggest bomb ever, because like movies like, of course, movies like John Carter and Lone Ranger were more expensive, but they also made money.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but
they didn't make it all back, but yeah, they didn't, you know, do nothing, I guess, so.
I mean, they could have easily chopped half an hour of Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
The whole subplot with Helena Bonham Carter and her whorehouse.
Yeah, it's pointless. No point doing it.
Yeah.
I did really like the whole train chase thing at the end. I thought that was like really cool. You know,
It
was like, wow, I've never seen this in a movie, and it was really exciting. I thought it was really well done.
There was a video on YouTube where I think it was ILM's For Your Consideration Oscar thing, and they showed all the things they did to make that scene, and it was like, wow, there was. I mean, it looked perfectly good, but it was, yeah.
Yeah, I watched like...
It was very computer-generated, but it looked good.
Yeah, they
that
had
was
some...
nominated for an Oscar. It won't win. Gravity will, but still.
Yeah, I watched like the extra stuff on the Blu-ray and all that, and it was like, wow, you know, a lot went into that. Like, they had semis that they drove down like these country roads and stuff with like the cast like up on top of the trailer, like doing all this shit because all the trees were lining the road, so that was how they were able to get all, you know, the trees going by, and it was impressive like how much stuff like Depp and Hammer actually did themselves, like in the stunts and all that, so which probably, you know, I mean, it helps make the movie better because it makes everything more convincing.
Arnie Hammer is pretty dull in that movie. He was just like, I'm the guy,
you know? He was, and I mean I think the character itself is kind of dull, you know. It's like Tonto has always kind of been the more memorable part of that duo, so.
Yeah, I like Johnny Depp in it. He was cool.
Yeah, I was surprised. There was even like dumb stuff in that movie that shouldn't make you laugh, but it made me laugh. Like the part where Armie Hammer, is it him or no? It's Depp's getting drugged behind the horse, and then Hammer's getting drugged behind the horse, and Depp's on the horse, and Depp stops, and then the horse takes a shit, and then it keeps walking ahead, and it drags Armie Hammer like right through it, and I'm like, that's so stupid. It shouldn't make me laugh. But I'm like, that was actually pretty funny. Just the way that they did it, it cracked me up. So,
I like when
and that
John,
was when I knew
Johnny
the movie
Depp
was working.
When
you know?
Johnny Depp was trying to walk away from Arnie Hammer, and he was like dragging him by the leg.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty funny.
That was good. Yeah, there's just a lot of, I mean, it was just fun. That's what I liked about it. So it didn't try to be anything more than it was.
So our next topic, I guess we're going to talk about the Wii U again. So there's an article here that says,
the system I've never played.
We cannot continue a business without winning, Iwata says. We must take a skeptical approach, whether we can simply make games players... Wait, so we can simply make game players, offer them the same way as in the past, and sell titles. Okay. Oh, we can... Oh, wow. So is he saying we won't even make a console?
That's what we've been saying for a long time that they should do, is... Okay. Okay. Just make games.
Here you go, world. The number one thing people don't realize, and people are stupid for it, is that history repeats itself. Sega, Nobody would have thought Sega would ever come to that. I mean, sure, Sega made a lot more stupid decisions than Nintendo ever has.
Yeah.
But, you know, ultimately they had to get out of the hardware business, and now that they're not even doing that good at making software. But it can happen. I mean, nobody, like in 1998, nobody would have thought Apple would ever recover. They were just about dead, and they came back. Nobody knows anything. So I guess, like, even though we're old now, we're, like, still, like, the target age for games.
And for Nintendo, and or just gaming in general?
Gaming in general.
Okay.
Like, the highest percentage of gamers are, like, 35 to 40 years of age.
Well, I suppose when you factor in PC gamers and everything across the board.
PC,
I
mean, gaming probably, master race?
I can kind of see that. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm 36. A lot of the people I work with are in kind of that mid-30 range and stuff, and pretty much all of us are gamers.
Do they play Nintendo games?
No, they do not. They play, like, pretty much everybody's got, like, PS3. Mainly people play PC, though, out of the people I work with, so...
I think Parker Dillman still...
He still clings to Nintendo, I think.
He's like, you know, I'll buy a Wii U when they release Smash Brothers. But they always say, like, people realize that's the problem. It's like, I'll buy a Wii U when they release the same damn games they always release.
Yeah. Yeah, they haven't come out... When was the last time they came out with a new IP? Was it Pokemon?
Pokemon,
right?
Pokemon was like 1996. That's 15, you know.
Actually, even more than 15 years. Yeah, it's
pretty old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking back to Nintendo consoles. First of all, I don't have anything against Nintendo, but I do have something against stupid business practices.
Explain.
Okay, well, I love Nintendo. Nintendo, the NES, was a great console.
Yep.
But then Genesis came along, and you're like, oh, they have sports games, and Sonic moves faster. And that's what I had. I didn't have a Super Nintendo, like, back then. But then I played Star Fox. I'm like, oh, my God, this is so cool. Star Fox, the best Star Wars game ever made, as I like to call it.
False. Yeah.
Whatever. You're like one of eight people who play the Old Republic.
Hey, there's more than eight people.
See, they should have made a Ronald Reagan missile defense MMO and called it Star Wars The Old Republican.
Ugh. Hey, did you ever play TIE Fighter? That game fucking rocked. No. Way back when. Oh, that game was awesome.
That was
it had Thrawn in it, too.
CD game, right? On the computer?
It was a friggin'... It came on floppies, like the one I had.
What, wasn't there a Doom game, like Imperial Assault or... You remember it was like a first-person game in the 90s?
Oh, there was Dark Forces yep. came out, yeah.
Well, anyway, back to Nintendo. So that was a game... I think eventually I bought a Super Nintendo. But I think the one that did it for everyone was GoldenEye.
Yes, yeah.
Well, even the Nintendo 64 itself, like Mario 64 was awesome. Wave Race was really cool. It was... You played it, and compared to the PlayStation 1, it looked really good. I mean, nowadays those games look like shit, but, you know, it had trilinear bitmap interpolation, Z-buffering, all this stuff. The textures in the PlayStation 1 were shit, basically. And Nintendo 64 looked good.
Yeah, the only game I played on the 64 that I gave a shit about was GoldenEye.
Like, that was enough!
Like Mario 64, I never beat that. Any of the traditional Nintendo properties in 3D form, I never gave a shit about. It was like Mario, the Zeldas. Like, I love A Link to the Past, but like when they got to Macarena of Time and Mario 64, I just didn't give a shit anymore.
Do you even remember the original name of that game? You've been calling it Macarena of Time since Macarena of Time came out.
I don't know. It's something like that. But I remember, like, I worked at Walmart back... at the time of the 64 and GoldenEye and all that, and it was, I shit you not, it was like 9 out of every 10 Nintendo 64s that got sold, GoldenEye was the game that people bought.
It was a system
bought.
Seller.
Yeah, I mean, hands down, it was no contest.
It could do so, I mean, it had better graphics. I mean, that game would not have run on the PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
You know, that was also when Nintendo gave a crap about technology and actually putting something in the box. And, yeah, that was a game you play it and you want it in 64 because it was so awesome.
Yeah, and it had the awesome multiplayer, which was just a blast. It had, like, the split-screen four-player multiplayer. I mean...
Yep.
had any games even done that to that point? I was trying to think.
Mario Kart was split-screen vertical. There's a lot of split-screen four-player? Oh, God.
I mean, that had to be, if not the first, like, one of
Star Fox 64 had some battles you could do that. You could play against your friends. They weren't very much fun, but they had it.
Okay.
I don't know if that came out before GoldenEye or not. Because GoldenEye came out in 97. Actually, it came out 2 years after the movie, which was kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it was a great game. And, you know, it made you want a Nintendo. And since then, I've never played a Nintendo exclusive that's made me feel that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I bought a GameCube for some reason at some point and barely ever played it. And then, yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, there hasn't been a Nintendo game I've given a shit about, yeah, probably since GoldenEye. So,
and like, when people talk about the Wii, it's like, oh, Skyward Sword is good. Or I do not care about those games.
Yeah.
It's like...
that part of me died. Like, whatever part of me cared about Zelda and Mario, it's gone.
You know, I'll watch... I mean, I like watching Pixar movies, animated movies. I'm not against things... You know, I'm not against something just because it's animated, but...
Mm.
Why would I play Zelda when I can play Skyrim?
Yeah, exactly. <It's>...
And you know what? Clearly, I'm not the only one who thinks that way.
Yeah.
And Nintendo just tries to sustain itself by selling the same four games to the same 10 million fans year after year. And the Wii obviously was very successful. But if you think about it, they sold like, what, 100 million, 110 million Wiis? Than like 80 million PS4s and Xbox 360s. So that means they actually sold more of those total.
Yeah.
And you say, well, that doesn't count. Well, you know, the Wii is basically a waggle thing. And then the PlayStation and Xbox are basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there was actually more of those on the market. So the market for, you know, more dense HD games was higher.
Yeah.
And then once, you know, the Wii was basically a paperweight after it was sold. It was a Pong adapter. And the critical problem is, the fan base of the Wii now plays smartphones and tablets. They'll never come back.
Yep.
Whereas real gamers, I don't say core gamers or casuals, there's real gamers and there's people who aren't gamers. We'll keep buying every system. Forever.
Except for the Wii U, apparently.
Yeah, well, I see people trying to, like, oh my God, they sold a million less Xbox Ones. It's over for Microsoft. It's like, you do realize these are both really expensive consoles that both... Either one had the best launch ever. The real story is Nintendo and getting kicked into junk. And it sucks because I don't mean nobody wants a system to, you know, do badly, but it just, they completely botched it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to, well, I guess you've probably actually seen one because I think you took one and made it into a portable or something, I don't know. But I haven't even played one. I haven't even seen a screen.
They had an expose on it, like a developer came forward anonymously and talked about like why it was hard to develop for and how Nintendo basically gives their third parties no support and all this. And he also talked about a technical standpoint. He said that the graphics are better than what's on the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360. It's like a Radeon 4800.
Okay.
So, you know, it's like 2008 level graphics, but I guess the CPU is,
it's like an incremental improvement.
Though. Or not even. Like, not even like what's in the Xbox 360.
Okay.
And the thing is, for a few years, you know, they'll take the PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360 version of a game and port it to the Wii U, if they're lucky.
Yeah.
But after that, it's all x86 and it's over.
Yeah.
The gulf is too... That's the same thing with the Wii. Like, the gulf was too immense, like, to put, like, Skyrim on the Wii.
Yeah, well, and it doesn't have a Blu-ray drive in it and all that stuff.
It has a drive with Blu-ray capacity. It's not a Blu-ray drive.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Okay, so...
So they have, like, 25 gigabyte games.
Okay.
Yeah, I just don't know what they could really do to turn it around. Maybe... Honestly, they should just make handhelds, which they do great, and they've lost a console war. It's done. It's insurmountable.
Yeah,
just like BlackBerry's not coming back. It's done.
Well, and the thing is, like with Nintendo, I mean, you look at it and it's like, you know, what do they do? This is what they do. Like they have this one industry where you've got like Microsoft, you know, and Sony. They're like these giant companies. They can afford to bleed money for quite some time
Nintendo
if they want to.
Nintendo can too. Sony can't afford to bleed money. They're already bleeding money.
they've been bleeding money a long time, though, and they're still here. That's what I'm saying. You know, they're a big enough company that they
can
afford
other,
to do it.
Well, they have other divisions
that's what I'm saying.
Also aren't doing well.
Well, yeah, the TVs are kind of taking a dump now.
Oh, but now it's 4K TV.
Yeah.
Because you can totally see the pixels. Because
3D didn't work for them to boost their sales.
Anybody.
So it's like, but it's like, you know, they have other markets, and yeah, maybe Sony's in rougher shape because their other markets aren't sustaining them very well. But, you know, like Microsoft, they're in a lot of areas, and they have other things that can help prop up the business if things go a little rough. Where Nintendo, if, you know, they go and make this new console, spend a bunch of money, whatever, and then they don't sell them worth a shit, it's like, well, then their software pipeline starts to dry up too, because there's no consoles out there for people to buy software to play it on. You know,
well, it's a double-edged sword. It's like people don't buy the consoles because there's no games, and then studios don't make games because nobody has a console.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they made an underpowered console. That gimmick worked once. That's it.
Yeah.
They never did that before. Like, Nintendo, yeah, it wasn't as powerful as a Master System, but it wasn't a full generation behind. Super Nintendo, it had a slow processor, but it was, other than that, it beat the shit out of the Genesis. Nintendo 64 was great. GameCube was almost as powerful as the Xbox One.
Yeah, it was
one.
Pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
Yeah, they were at least in the conversation before, you know, like they were in the ballpark, where they haven't been in the ballpark for a long time now.
Guess
not,
what?
Not since the GameCube, basically.
And these 10 million people that buy every Smash Bros. Game, if it was on the X, they also, those people have Xboxes and PlayStation 3s. Like, most people who game at least have two systems.
Yeah.
So those games would still sell, and hell, they'd probably sell even more.
Yeah, because they'd put it on both the PlayStation and the Xbox, and they'd sell to, you know.
See, the reason
markets.
Nintendo won't go mobile, and I don't blame them, is because instead of being able to sell like a $35 Nintendo DS cartridge, they'd have to sell a $5 game.
Yeah,
they don't have to do that. They can sell the DS stuff, and I'm surprised the DS is doing as well as it does. Honestly,
yeah.
In a world of smartphones, I guess because the games are better. But yeah, I mean, it could happen. I mean, there's a lot of pride. Same thing with Sony. There's a lot of pride.
Yeah, yeah.
But pride comes before fall.
Yep, exactly. But yeah, it's like, you know, the thing is, too, it's like maybe if these games would come out on, say, the PlayStation or the Xbox, maybe I would buy, like, the new Mario game when it comes out. But I'm not going to go and fucking buy a console
system
just to play, like, one or two games. You know, so they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot in that respect, too.
It always bugs me when people say, oh, Nintendo's got tons of cash, it doesn't matter. Well, eventually that will matter, because if you lose money every quarter, first of all, your shareholders don't want you to do that. So even if you can afford to,
yeah.
Oh, there's a ghost outside.
Nice.
You can't do that.
Somebody ordered a murder?
Yeah, a murder of crows.
What about an anatomy of a murder?
So... What would happen eventually is, you know, the shareholders will revolt, you know, and they'll get rid of everyone. What was that?
Well, it was like you mentioned before, you know, it's like, look what happened to Research in Motion with the BlackBerry. You know, they were on top of the world like 5 years ago, and now they're basically dead.
If you went back to 2007 and said in 6 years, BlackBerry or Research in Motion will be pretty much dead, no one would have believed you.
Mm-hmm.
But just like if you went back to 1998 and said Apple will become a $1 trillion company, no one would have believed you, but it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it can go both ways. So, yeah, you can be on top of the world with a Wii and then get kicked in the junk next generation.
Yep.
I mean, I think, like, if Sony, like, comes out on top this generation, that's never happened before. Companies never come back.
Yeah.
Although PlayStation 3 had a bad start. You could say the same thing with the Wii U. It had a bad start, but
it recovered pretty strong. Yeah.
It did. I mean, it did. I mean, I think worldwide it beat Xbox 360.
Yeah, I think it eventually... I know I just read something. Yeah, they were right there. I mean, like in the U.S., the Xbox outsold it. But yeah, when you factor in the whole world, then the PlayStation, they were pretty tight. I saw something where they just announced, Microsoft just announced their sales for like last month and all that. And they said they sold, what was it, 900 some thousand Xbox Ones. And then they sold 600 some thousand Xbox 360s still.
Wow.
Like they were the biggest sellers in both generations.
Well, the Wii is outselling the Wii U. For instance.
Wow.
Or is it? It's pretty bad. I mean,
wow.
I think it got better at Christmas, but it was pretty dire wolf. There's going to be more dire
wolf.
There's got to be more of those things.
Yeah, those are pretty cool. It sucked when... No, spoiler warning. Never mind.
Oh, yeah.
But
what about that time when that one character died?
Yeah, and that, I can't... and that thing happened.
Yeah, and then there was a sex person. Scene.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what I don't understand. So you got like Tywin Lannister, yeah. Tyrell, and then Jaime.
Tyrion.
Tyrion, but then Jaime.
Yeah.
What is Lena Headey's character name?
Cersei.
Cersei?
Yeah.
And Jaime.
God, I'm amazed I'm remembering all this, but yeah.
I just, it's like, oh, it's Lena Headey.
Yeah.
There's two Sarah Connors in that show.
Are there?
Yeah, because the Dragon Woman, she's going to be the Sarah Connor in the reboot.
Oh, that's right.
The reboot, which has Arnold Schwarzenegger in it for no reason.
And Lena Headey was Sarah Connor in the TV show?
The TV show, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
The Sarah Connolly Chronicles, as Allison calls it.
I just knew that she was in 300. That's all I remember.
And with her, so. Dread.
Which I've never seen.
It's overrated. So Nintendo, make games that people over 30 want to buy. And before you troll us and say, I'm over 30 and I like Mario. Yeah, you're in the minority report.
Super eyes.
I have no interest in those games. You have no interest in those games.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Well, I don't
know. Nobody I know has interest in them other than Parker, but he's, you know, like 10 years younger than us.
Yeah, Sean McDermott, who is like our age, he likes those games, but that's like the only one I can think of. Yeah. We all play PC or console, and yeah, I don't know. I played GameCube. I never owned one.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's like I'd rather, if I'm going to play something, you know, I'll play Assassin's Creed or Uncharted or, you know, something like that. Or Beyond Two Souls.
You know, oh, yeah, we should get it. Before we get into that, how do you feel about people who say Mario instead of Mario?
It bothers me.
In Mario 64, he pops up. He's like, it's me, Mario. He tells you how to pronounce his effing name.
He's Mario Cop, not Mario Cop. Get it straight.
Oh, that's right. We need to do a new intro one of these days. Oh, wasn't it Mario was going to go to Police Academy and it was going to be Wii U?
Yep. And then, of course, the sergeant guy or whatever he was would be there.
Which was like, always your voice.
Yeah, so.
Oh, yeah, if we see Dale tomorrow at that movie,
we'll float it past him that we got to do one of those.
Next time. Because Dale is the voice of Mario. Maybe Mario could become a video pirate.
Those ones were fun to do, too, the video Pirates of the Caribbean.
Speaking of video piracy, how much money do you think HBO leaves on the table by not putting Game of Thrones on iTunes like every other TV show does?
They don't put it on much of anything. Like, they put, like, the first season. Like, they never have a recent season on download. Like
cable cord cutters, we are growing in numbers.
Yeah.
And it's like, I would happily pay $50 to watch 10 episodes of that show. I would easily plunk that down.
Yeah, because I was...
I can't, so I end up borrowing the discs from someone.
Yeah, because I ran into that, like, I you know, I watched season one on Blu-ray back whenever, and then I got season two, blah, blah, blah. Finally got in the mood to watch that, got through it, and then season three wasn't out on Blu-ray yet. Like, I don't know if it is even yet, because they take forever to
it's
do
like
that.
It's like Burn Notice. You pretty much have to wait until it's until the new season starts. Yeah.
But I was like... shit, I want to watch season three because I could hear about nothing but this goddamn Red Wedding thing. And I was like, if I have to wait that long, it's going to get spoiled for me.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, some place has got to have this online where I can watch it. So I go and look at like Xbox video.
Nope.
Nowhere to be found. I even looked at like iTunes, like on the iPad. I got that desperate. Nope. Nowhere to be found. I looked on Sony's store. They had season one of it on there. But season two, nowhere to be found. And, of course, the current season was nowhere to be found. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. It's like, I want to give you my money, and I can't. You know, and a lot of people, you know, like you just said, you know, it's like, I'd gladly pay $50 for that. But instead, what do people do? They end up going and downloading it or, you know, whatever. They find ways to see it.
I think it's probably the reason is they realize if they just sold it a la carte, they basically nullify the reason their channel exists.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, HBO is ancient. And cable will die eventually anyway, but they have to stave it off as long as possible.
Well, the thing I
it's
hate...
It's basically admitting defeat for their model.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I hate with HBO is they're kind of dumb. And maybe it's just because of... And maybe it's just because of how their business model is. I mean, I don't know how all their contracts work behind the scenes, you know, with how they get rights to movies to show them and all that. But, you know, they are kind of positioned... to be like a Netflix. already. They're like in a good position. Like, they even create their own content. They're kind of ahead of Netflix.
Content people want.
Yeah, although Netflix, you know, is starting to do that themselves and catch up. But, you know, like, I remember it was like a year and a half ago, I think, when they announced that HBO Go app for the Xbox 360.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, this is going to be awesome. If I can pay like $15 a month or something and get HBO, I'll do that. But it's like, no, you can only use the app if you actually subscribe to HBO through your cable provider. And I'm like, that's freaking dumb.
You know, it'll probably happen like in 2 years, you know, just in time for like the finale of Game of Thrones, is there'll be some like catastrophic announcement where like HBO breaks from cable and does that.
Yeah.
Probably the reason they can't is because cable would crucify them if they did.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's all sorts of, you know, whatever nonsense.
You know, people are always like, well, America, oh wait, no, wrong voice. America's bandwidth doesn't catch up to other countries. It's like, how about we get rid of all the shit on cable and open up the bandwidth that's being used by 50,000 ghost hunting shows? And like, to have like 90% of your cable's bandwidth not be shows, it would be your internet.
Yeah, I mean, because yeah, it sucked because there, again, there was lost revenue for them. Because I was like, I'll gladly pay like $15 a month.
I want to give you money.
And I can't do it. And it's like, no, I'm not going to go and subscribe to frickin' cable and all this shit just so then I can pay even more money on top of that to get your premium
and
service.
It's not like when I get emails for ideas, like, hey, could you build this? And I just don't do it because I don't have the time.
Yeah.
That doesn't require much of them to just put it all. They don't. It's free money.
Yeah, it's obviously already in place. I mean, the HBO Go app is there. It's basically just like, let me create an account and give you my credit card number, and away we go. You know, it's literally that simple.
I think I got Game of Thrones Season 2 on my Xbox. I mean, you can get it, but you have to wait a year or however long it takes to get like the Blu-ray version.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, but like every other show, like Mad Men or Breaking Bad, like, you buy the season pass, and it's there the next day.
Yeah, because that's what I've done with Mad Men the last couple of seasons, so it was, you know, pretty awesome in that respect, so.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it was, you know, $35 or whatever, but it's cheaper than cable, and I'm getting to purchase the content that I want to watch. I'd rather pay a premium for that than have to pay for a bunch of garbage.
You realize you could watch, you could do that, like, once a month all year, and it'd still be cheaper than cable?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so our final topic, Beyond Two Souls, which apparently is the greatest game ever made.
And the soul still burns.
Yeah, compared to The Last of Us. Two games I haven't played, so I guess take it away, Jones.
So yeah, like, backstory, I guess, is like Last of Us. I bought that game right around the time it came out because it was getting all these like ridiculous reviews, you know, like stupidly good reviews. And I'm like, it's, you know, Naughty Dog. They did the Uncharted games, which rock. It's like, they don't make shit. This will be cool, even though it's zombie. Well, it's The Infected, but it's, you know, basically zombies, which I normally don't give a shit about. And so I think I played it for about 2.5 hours when it came out. Didn't hook me, so then it sat there forever. Then fast forward to, like, I don't know, a few weeks ago, talking to a coworker, and he had gotten Beyond Two Souls at, like, the Black Friday whatever prices, and he had played through it, and he's like, oh, it's, you know, pretty cool, and it's the company that made Heavy Rain. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll give this a shot. Seems like a good idea. And so I get playing, or I borrow it from him, and I end up playing through the entire game on a Saturday. Like, I fired it up at probably 10:30 in the morning and finished it at 10 in the night, and I stepped out for an hour and a half to get lunch. So it probably took me actually 10 hours of game time to beat it.
What is Beyond Two Souls about?
So it's an interesting game in that it's more of like, it's hard to call it a game. It's more like an interactive experience.
It's from almost the people who made Heavy Rain, right?
Yeah.
Quantic Dream.
Yeah. So it's, if you played Heavy Rain, it's kind of similar to that, although I liked it better. I mean, I liked Heavy Rain a lot, but I just enjoyed this game a lot more.
Is Heavy Rain like Chubby Rain?
The aliens come down in the raindrops, making them chubby. But, yeah, I don't know, it's I think something that lends a lot of weight to the game as well is that it's got, like, Ellen Page is the main character, Willem Dafoe is another main character. I mean, it's like you've got, like, you know, award-worthy actors giving performances in the game, but it's a really weird game to describe because it deals with, like, you know, in some aspects it's, like, sci-fi, horror, like, drama, action movie, like I mean, there's like a sequence in it where you're basically like in a special forces type assignment and you have to like assassinate somebody in this other country. Then there's like a scene where you're on a date with
Ellen
somebody.
Page would be my first choice to do carry out that mission.
Well, she's got like...
she was an X-Men.
Yeah, it's like the big crux of the game is that like she has this entity that's kind of with her at all times. And based on her emotions or whatever, it'll kind of cause this thing to react. And so it has this interesting gameplay mechanic where, you know, you're mainly her, but then you can switch to be this entity and cause things to happen in the environment.
Can you cause paranormal activity to happen?
You can, actually. Like, there's a sequence where it's like when you're a little girl, because you get sent off to, like, this place where Willem Dafoe is, like, this doctor and all that who's trying to help her, you know, cope with this condition or whatever that she has. And
back
so she goes
formula.
Yeah, and so you go to this birthday party and, you know, you're like teenagers or whatever, and of course the kids end up, you know, they kind of know there's something different about this girl, and so they start picking on her. And so you end up like, it's cool because you get choices in the game, and the choices actually impact the game, unlike Bioshock Infinite. But like in the sequence, you can kind of choose to just kind of let it go and leave the party, or you can stir shit up and go like Carrie style, essentially, on these kids. So, you know, of course, I stirred shit up. So you can start like throwing chairs at these kids and just like causing all sorts of havoc going on and locking the kids in the room and just keep like fucking with them and terrifying them. And I don't know, it's a really interesting game because you get a lot of choice in it. There's all sorts of times in the game like that where you know it's left up to you how you want to handle the situation, and then it actually causes the game to kind of go on a different trajectory based on what you do. And so I don't know, I just thought it was a really neat experience, and it's so varied in like the storyline that it doesn't get dull. Like, you never really know where it's going, which I appreciated. And but so to me, it was like the best game that came out in 2013 that I played.
I thought that was Last of Us.
Yeah, Last of Us. So I had my 2.5 hours in, and then after going through Beyond Two Souls, the same coworker who loaned me Beyond Two Souls, he had kind of had the same experience with Last of Us. Like, he played the first few hours and he was like, "Eh, you know, whatever."
That's kind of how I felt with Grand Theft Auto V. Just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, and so he. He kind of decided, okay, I'm going to kind of force myself to trudge ahead in this thing. And so he kept kind of fighting his way through it. And he finally reached a point in the game, it's, you know, he said it's probably like, I don't know, six and a half hours in, where all of a sudden, like, the game just gets, like, awesome at that point. And so I'm like, okay, he kind of had the same experience as me. I'm going to trust that maybe it'll go the same way for me, and I'll get to a point in the game and it's going to get awesome. And so I haven't quite made it to that 6.5 hour mark yet. I played it for probably another 3 hours now, and it is improving, but I still haven't had any sort of moment in the game where I'm just like, wow, this is an awesome game. Like, I'm just completely befuddled by like why it got such rave reviews. I don't know what can happen later in the game to make it so amazing.
Why don't you like it?
It's just, it feels like work when I'm playing it. It's just not
normally
very enjoyable.
Work to buy money, to get money to buy a game.
To entertain yourself. But
see, that's why I don't think a Walking Dead pinball would work, because a real zombie apocalypse would suck. It would be difficult.
Yeah.
And there wouldn't be enough toilet paper.
Yeah, and that's one thing I like about Last of Us, but it's also part of the frustration with it. I mean, some people, I think they like the challenge of a game, which is fine. Like, for me, I've kind of reached some point in life where I want to be entertained. You know, it's kind of like watching Lone Ranger. It was just like kind of satisfying, because it's like, this is just fun. I don't even have to really think a lot, you know. And but like Last of Us, there's neat aspects to it. You know, like, you get to learn how to make like a nail bomb or something, and so then you go around and you can be like scavenging parts all over the place, and if you scavenge enough parts, then you can like make nail bombs, and then you can utilize
crafting
them. And so I mean, stuff like that's kind of neat, because, you know, depending on what weapons you've managed to acquire at given times, it changes how you attack a situation. And but it's just, so far, like, the characters haven't hooked me. You know, I mean, I'm sitting here I'm 5.5 hours in, you know. It's like, I don't give a movie this kind of leeway, you know. It's like,
you know, I haven't played it. Maybe it's just because, I mean, they're not zombies, but they're zombies.
Yeah, and that stuff just doesn't appeal to me.
But everybody loves zombies, so it's like instant five-star review usually.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to, tonight, after we get done with this podcast, I'm going to go home and try to, you know, fight my way through it some more. And, you know, hopefully I get to that point where it's like, oh, okay, this is interesting now, and I can fight my way through it. And then I'll loan it to Ben if he wants to give it a try. And but
that's me.
So we'll see. But yeah, at this point, I like, to me, it's I don't understand why Beyond Two Souls wasn't in the conversation for, you know, like game of the year type things. I mean, it got kind of crappy reviews, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't get why. I thought it was just a very, you know, great experience. Maybe it's just because it's not much of a game. You know, it's just more of an experience and an emotional journey.
I played through Duke Nukem Forever, and I haven't finished Grand Theft Auto V yet.
Yeah, I mean, true, yeah.
You know, you just, I'm not saying Duke Nukem Forever was a great game, but it's really subjective what you end up playing through.
Yeah, yeah. So,
although I'll be honest, like, you know, shooting, you know, like aliens and driving monster trucks around, I find that more enjoyable than, like, you know, being a gangster and being in the hood like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, there's a certain point where, like, realism and things is less enjoyable. And maybe that's the thing. Yeah. Maybe Last of Us is just too realistic in its portrayal of, like, a zombie apocalypse, you know, compared to, like, something like Dead Rising, which, when that came out on the Xbox 360, I played through that. It was just a lot of fun. You know, where this, it's just too gritty and too real. So, we'll see. But that's my two cents on those two games, so.
All right. Well, I hope you've all enjoyed our controversial Two Souls podcast. Ellen Page, who was in X-Men 3, which wasn't that bad.
And Juno.
Hamburger Phone. Because any movie with J.K. Simmons is all right by me.
Hell yeah.
All right, well, be sure to tweet us and email us and stuff if you have any cool podcast ideas. And we'll see you next month.